Welcome to VFN Radio. Oh my goodness, it's so good to be with you today. My name is Greg Lancaster, the host, and joining me in the studios today is Pat Hamilton.
Good morning.
Good morning, Pat. And the one, the only, John Paul Ramos.
Good morning.
Kick back. Relax. I know you're maybe a little tired of eating all them hamburgers and hot dogs and Coca-Colas or soda pops for everybody up north. Give a shout out this morning to Cindy West. Cindy, it was so good to hook up with you. Thank you for tutoring me on Facebook. I'm still trying to figure it out. Yes, and for all the feedback, I know it's Red Skelton, not Red Skeleton. Thank you. Thank you. Of course, you know, he is. Anyway, yes.
Partially right.
Partially right. Good morning, 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 morning. You are listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. And with me is Pat Hamilton in the studios and John Ramos. Good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning. Kick back, relax, and know this, that the Lord is with us. Think about it. He is all around us. He created this very moment in time that we shall live, and he did this for one reason and one reason only, just to see if you would reach out and touch him, if you would acknowledge that he's there, that he's the lover of your soul. Think about it. He did all of that. The universe created everything. Acts 17 tells us about it. He created everything, even your address and the season that you would live. I encourage you this moment and today, reach out and don't just touch someone. Touch God today. Mm. Isn't that awesome?
That's good.
Oh,
that's
my
good.
Goodness. He's just one. You know, imagine, are you going to even acknowledge it? I'm here. Hello. I'm here. What are you worried about with all that fret and all that stuff? And, you know, I mean, listen to what's going on, but don't believe everything that's happening in the news. Believe that what my word says, that you are victors in my son, Christ Jesus. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
Well, good morning. Good morning, John.
Good morning. Good morning. Happy to be here this morning on this wonderful day. I want to give a couple of shout outs out there to Michael Paulino. Michael, I'm so proud of you. Out there working at Wendy's, man, you're doing such an awesome job.
Oh my goodness, he's
awesome
working.
Job.
Is Michael working at Wendy's? Well, good morning. Wow. Isn't that cool?
Job.
Oh my goodness, that is so cool. You know, I mean, different cities are different things, but when you're talking about working at McDonald's in a city, that's like working in a major hectic restaurant, you know, in the suburbs or in some other areas of the country. It's a busy place.
That's right. There's only two speeds, fast and faster, you know.
Yeah, yeah. I remember going into the two-story McDonald's, you know. Do you want to sit on the first floor or the second floor of McDonald's?
It's a big deal, big deal. I want to give a shout-out to Crystal, too, out there in the South Bronx. You should have seen Crystal. The picture I've seen of the whole family on the 6th train. Pretty awesome.
Oh, the 6th train. Is that the one that's between the 5th train and the 7th train? I mean, what does that mean?
You're good. That's the train that runs through the Bronx. So she
lives
out there in the South Bronx.
All right, Crystal. You go, girl.
Praise God. Yeah, awesome. And, of course, I want to give a shout-out to my beautiful wife, Teresa, who is listening.
She is beautiful, man. I tell you what, way above your pay grade, man. You are blessed.
That's right.
Yeah, I was thinking about her, you know, when I was marrying Amber on the beach. And, you know, when I married you guys years ago, you know.
I know.
And, you know, Teresa, she's still beautiful today, but she just looked like an angel. Her dress was blowing in the wind out there in that white sand, and she was just barefoot going around, and she's just... She's stunningly beautiful, man. Isn't it amazing?
Oh,
I mean, how do you walk into her presence, you know what I'm saying, without just kind of covering your eyes a little bit and just going, I'm just glad to be here, baby. Thank you so much.
Moving on.
Moving on.
She's beautiful.
It's 4th of July, by the way.
Oh, you did? How'd it go?
Oh, very good, very good. Had some time with the family. We did a nice barbecue cookout out there in the backyard. And
Hey, what about that big Tyrannosaurus Rex that's under your deck or something in the back? I mean, remember we're sitting on that deck. And we were sitting there talking, you know, and we were reminiscing, as somebody once said. And I looked over and saw this huge hole right to my right, about 12 inches to my right next to the deck. I said, what? Yeah, it's a beaver, man. It's a horse hole, man. That thing's huge.
Dude, it scared me to no end when I saw that thing come on out.
How big is it?
Those things lived in Jersey.
How big is it?
Oh, it's huge. I mean, it has to be about 3 feet. I mean,
what was it?
It's long and it is fat.
It's a beaver, I think.
Oh, it's a beaver?
It's a beaver, man, I think.
It's a, I don't know, a badger something, man.
It's
but
a badger,
it is
Tyrannosaurus Rex or something. And it lives up under that place there, that hole in the ground. I think it could be the chemicals from the plant.
Yeah,
what I'm saying? They got a hold of that thing.
Could very well be.
Well, you know, so, go ahead.
I was telling you, I was wanting to do something special for my kids, and so they wanted to go into the pool. So it was a very, very hot day yesterday.
Is it
up
hot?
Here, okay?
It could be hot. Is it hot there?
Oh, my goodness. It gets hot in Jersey. Believe it or not, it gets hot. In fact,
it's a different hot. It's a concrete hot.
Oh, like a sauna hot, okay? I mean, it is coming off of the concrete, okay? It's baking you, all right? So this is well in its 90s, and so my little girl, she wants to go in the wanga. Now, that's baby talk for water, by the way, wanga.
Mm, wanga.
And so she wanted me to get the pool together for her, this inflatable pool. So I take my son out to get some air in this inflatable pool. I'm thinking we're just going to get a little bit of air, not too much, and we'll finish the rest at home. But this thing was filling up so fast, okay, that we wind up filling up the whole pool with air. Now, this thing's about 8 feet long. Now, you can imagine.
Okay. All right. I thought you were talking about Olympic pool or something. Okay.
No. This is an 8 feet, 2.5 foot high wall type of thing.
Okay.
Yeah. And so it didn't fit in the car. So I'm looking at my son. He's looking at me. And then I'm looking for anyone with a phone or any kind of evidence to see what we're going to do with this pool. And I'm looking at these two young teenagers on the right of me, and they're just having a ball laughing at us because there's no way we're going to.
I think I saw that on YouTube.
Yeah. I'm afraid of that. It's me. Oh, I said, Elijah, you ready? He was ready for what?
That's Elijah.
You got to carry this thing, man. So here's me and my son. We're walking down Market Street, okay?
No, wait a minute. You guys are walking down Market Street with a swimming pool?
Yes, but don't tell anyone, okay?
I think it's a little late. It kind of reminds me of the boy that was dragging the whole bicycle box up to the Bronx, right?
My gosh, in Times Square, yeah.
And he was in Times Square, and he's going to drag that box. My, you guys, you city folk, man, you are amazing. So you're dragging this pool.
Way, okay, because I love my boys here, my daughter. So we're walking with this huge pool, okay. Now I'm calling my wife to see if I can get some sort of compassion pickup, or you know what I'm saying, a delivery back to the car, and five rings, six rings, nothing. Don't know where the phone might have been buried. I don't know. She's probably very busy getting ready. So we finally make it to the house. We're drenched in sweat. We drop it off in the back, and we walk inside and go, hey, where were you guys? They're sipping on Coke, having a good old time talking. I tell you, it was hot. We made it, but it wasn't funny. It was a job, but they enjoyed it. They got in the water, and they had a really wonderful time enjoying the family and having a cookout. And it's a beautiful, beautiful day once we cooled off, of course.
This wasn't over your head. I mean, how deep was the pool?
Oh, my goodness. Only two feet, but,
That's a puddle. That's not a pool.
At that age, it's were pretty high for her, wasn't it?
Oh, goodness. Yeah, was loving it. She was splashing away. Didn't want to get out.
That is so cool because, very, very rarely do you get in the city to get to go swimming. I can imagine what the taxes would be on in a pool there. And
oh, my God.
I know what the house taxes are like.
I
do want to say this, as we move along today, is that there's some news, very breaking news we want to be able to let you know to our listeners that Monday, if you don't check your computer, according to the FBI, that you could be without internet service. It is some sort of malware, I heard the word a lot, but you have to ask somebody else what it actually means, but it's just somebody putting stuff on your computer. And they're saying that if you do not have not checked your computer yet or not, you might not have service on Monday. So if you want to be able to find out, you know, if your computer is okay, you're supposed to be able to click this program, and if your computer turns green, not the computer, but the green screen
green
type
screen.
Thing, you know, if it turns green, it's like run for your life, it could be contaminated, then it's not going to affect you. And if it doesn't turn green, you're going to have to read the rest of the, you have to read the small print. But you can find about this at the VFNTV blog. Go to VFNTV.com. It's called, I think the blog is called Malware May. Let me find it here. Malware may knock off the internet on Monday. It's the first blog right now that I think it's up there before another one comes in. You can go to VFN. It's a V Victor, VFNTV.com. Check on it. It has a link for you to be able to run that little program on your computer. They are not sponsors of VFN Radio, but Glary Utilities is a good service you can get that checks and removes all the malware. So even if you are covered in this, you know, you're green, your screen turns green or whatever, if that malware is still there, it will begin to affect your computer Monday. So just remove it, and you can remove it by, you know, this kind of malware removal type software. And Donna has always used with her company she uses. It's called Glary. Maybe we'll make that available as well on the blog. But Glary Utilities. And it takes a few seconds. Just push a button. It somehow goes through all your stuff. And it, you know, 10 million whatever was in your computer. And it removes it. And it's pretty good. So might want to check that out. You can get it on the VFN TV blog. The VFN TV blog. You know, we've been working on trying to figure out Facebook. we weren't on it for quite some time, you know, until the Lord just really laid on our heart, and now is the time. Because years ago, you know, when God was, we were walking through the processes and the seasons of prophecy and the things that God's telling us to do, that, you know, we used to, do radio programs. We used to go to radio programs, and now we're doing them, you know. We used to do television programs, but now we're actually doing television, producing television programs. And these things happen in the seasons. Well, originally, you know, what we would do is we would begin to talk about what God was doing and passing the word along. And, you know, Malachi, you know, God's turning the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers. We had it on signage all over the, everywhere we had it. It was so loud that even the governor of our state, it made it all the way to India. And, you know, and then as we were beginning to seek about, you know, okay, now it's time. God said, now's the time for what's being released that you hear on VFN TV and VFN Radio. And you might ask the question, how could they know all this? Mm. And it's like, well, we've been studying. The Holy Spirit's been downloading so much stuff to us, and we've been trying to get as much of us out of it as possible. So the message could be as pure and as direct, and that the Holy Spirit would give us boldness to tell you. And the time is, we're really, really, really short, you know, for the next transition in the world. So a big shift's about to happen in the world. Mm-hmm. And it could happen, you know, it could happen tomorrow. Now, the Lord could come back at a moment in a twinkling of an eye, you know, and I'm cool with that.
Yeah.
But the sad thing about that is, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're not going.
Right.
You're just not going. And so, but you can. You can know Jesus. Listen, you probably, if you've been in America, you've heard a ton of religious things. People have been trying to invite you to church. You got to go to church. If you go to church, you got to go to church. You got to go to church. You got to go to church. And the reality is, how can you go to what you are? All you can truly do is be. But the fact that you are the church, then you go gather together as the church. And where two or more gathered in my name, Jesus said, there I am in the midst of them. When Jesus is lifted up in the midst of you, that one that you're talking about that you want to introduce Jesus to is drawn to Jesus. That's what he says, right?
Right.
And so, you know, what we should have been telling you is, you need Jesus, man.
Right.
You need to know him. You don't need to know about him. Or of him. You don't need to study about him.
Mm.
You need to know him.
Mm-hmm.
And you can know him today. If you have not yet made Jesus the Lord of your life. Lord of your life means this. It's his ways. It's his rule. But he loves you, and he's got good plans in store for you. But you have to trust those plans. You can make him the Lord of your life today. You can go to meetmyfather.org. See, the whole business of Jesus was to make the Father known. And that's what we're doing. We want to make the Father known. But the only way that he can be made known is through his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior. And he can be your Lord and your Savior. Go to meetmyfather.org. Meetmyfather.org. We'll be right back. Think about this. If you haven't seen R.A. Dickey, R.A. Dickey is on the VFN TV blog. And John had a chance. Some of you caught this on Monday. He had a chance with Isaiah and Elijah, who are baseball fans, the New York Mets, to be able to spend some moments with him. And his testimony now is available, John, on the VFN TV blog.
I saw that.
Isn't that cool?
Yes. Yes, I saw that.
And tell us what happened there.
Well, it's pretty cool. You know, R.A. Dickey is a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, and he has a tremendous testimony. I mean, what God has done in his life is just absolutely amazing. He wrote a new book. You can get it, I'm sure, in all the bookstores. It has a very long title, but you can go to VFNTV.com and go to the blog, and you can get the title. But
well, it's called R.A. Dickey, Wherever I Wind Up.
Yes, there's a subtitle there.
Yeah. And subtitle.
Yeah, but it's pretty cool, you know, because he's been through so many trials and so many things in his life.
Haven't we all?
Yeah, I know. But it's cool when you give God credit, you know.
Yes,
when
it is.
When you arrive to a place of prominence, it's when you come to a place of stage, when you come to a place when the whole world, you know, is looking at you, you don't pound your chest and say, it was me, my hard work, or what I've done, but you give glory to the Lord. And that's what he's done. I mean, the book is very therapeutic because, you know, you just see just the trials of any ordinary man. But we had a chance to go see him at the Yogi Berra Stadium. You know, Yogi Berra lives close out here, one of the famous Yankee players of all time. And he was doing a book signing. And we had the chance, you know, my son, we happened to be in Philadelphia not too long ago. And we're standing outside of the Liberty Bell. And we're waiting to get on in, and my son happens to recognize another baseball player. And I'm saying, son, Elijah, it is hot out here. There's no way that this player is out here. Long story short, him and his mom walk up to the player, and it winds up being Bobby Parnell, pitcher for the New York Mets. And so he had to get a chance to get an autograph, and that was a pretty cool experience. And when he walked away, you know, I always like to talk about Christ and talk about the Lord and just let people know about the love of God. And when we left, I said, you know, we didn't even talk to Bobby about the Lord or anything. I says, you know, if we ever get a chance again to speak to someone on a baseball team or someone that maybe has prominence, then we're going to share with them the most important thing in our life. And so here we go, getting ready to see R.A. Dickey. And there was such a huge response to seeing him. I mean, people were showing up all over the place. They were sold out. And we decided that, you know, everyone's getting autographs. We wanted to bless R.A. Dickey with a ball that says iabide.org.
You know, I'm looking at it right now. I can see it. It's pretty cool. It's on the blog. It's on the VFN TV blog. It says, that's pretty cool, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Yeah. I mean, think about it. You know, he's a believer, and we wanted to bless him with the opportunity. Hey, listen, you know, this is awesome. You need to abide with the Lord, and I'm sure he is, but we wanted to encourage him with that. And so we walk up to him, introduce ourselves, and say, hey, R.A., we have this awesome ball we want to give you. We know that you're a believer, and I had a chance to encourage him and say, listen, you know, this is your season, this is your time. God's putting you on a platform, you know, share the gospel. And he said, thank you. He asked me to continue to pray for him. But I said, I want to give you this gift about abiding and spending time with the Lord. He looked at it. I believe his wife was sitting right next to him, and she was really surprised. She's like, oh my goodness, you know, I guess no one does that. And he said, wow, I'm definitely going to take a look at it. He was pretty touched by it. And so he was willing to take a picture with us. And it's pretty awesome. It's pretty awesome when you can spend time with the Lord and read his word and have the opportunity to hear God for yourself. That's one of the inheritance that the son and the daughter of God have, that God wants to have a personal relationship with you, that there is no in-between, that there isn't anyone that has to stand between you and God. You know, think about it. Think about it. You may never have access with some of the most powerful men and women of the world. You may never, ever get a chance to meet or talk, but you have access with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords when you sit down and abide with God and read his word. And I encourage you, if you don't have a plan, if you don't know where to start, you know, oftentimes people that they want to read the Word of God, you know, but they don't know where to start. They don't know what plan, what to follow. Let me tell you, you can get a simple plan that gets you started at iabide.org. That's the letter I and the word abide, A-B-I-D-E.org. And you can just begin. It's a simple plan. But let me tell you, I encourage you to do it for 6 weeks. Make a commitment. Say, you know what? I'm going to spend time with God. I'm going to hear God for myself. And I promise you, he'll speak back to you through his word.
Pat, there is so much more. Yeah. You know, we have so many things that are out there for all of our listeners and all of our viewers in VFN Radio and VFN TV. But we even have more available for them, mm-hmm. you know, and what it is, you're able to, when you subscribe for free, mm-hmm. you go to VFNTV.com, right? VFNTV.com and just click on subscribe, follow a few simple steps, mm-hmm. and you're able to log in to some information and teachings and discussions and things. It's just everything's available to you as a subscriber. It's just simple to do. Just go to VFNTV.com. VFNTV.com, click on subscribe, follow the simple steps, and you will have access to everything available that's here today and all that's even coming tomorrow. We look forward to seeing you as a subscriber. Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me in the studios is Pat Hamilton and John Ramos. You know, we want to move on in regards to, you know, today we want to talk about the word of wisdom, the moment of wisdom today. We need wisdom above all things, you know, and it is the fifth of the month, and we always look at, you know, the proverb chapter that corresponds to that day of the month, which is chapter five. You know, so he's chapter five, and we don't, you know, talk about the whole chapter. It's just like every bit of it's just awesome. God's word is just so wonderful. But today we're going to look at the word, the particular part of chapter five. Proverbs 5, chapter 5, verse 22 through 23. Proverbs 5, 22 through 23. Let me read it for you. This is what it says. It says, "The evil deeds of the wicked man ensnare him. The cords of his sin hold him fast. He will die for a lack of discipline, led astray by his great folly." I mean, think about, wow. Man, there is so much packed into that, isn't there?
There's a lot.
You know, one thing I always like to do is, like, let's just find out what those words actually mean, you know? You know, one thing with religion, you know, you can say, well, let's just change the meaning of that. It really doesn't mean repent. It just kind of means feel bad about it for a while and then continue in it, right? It doesn't really mean that a dog can return to its vomit or a pig in its mud. It just means that, you know, you'll make it in, but you'll just have mud on you.
Right.
You know, all these, it's crazy. It's like, oh, you know, and I tried for a long time because so many people feel that way, mm-hmm. that I was like, I want to read it the same way they read it. And I'm like, Lord, why don't you let me read it the way they read it? Because everything in there says the opposite of some of that stuff that's being just promulgated across, you know, the body of Christ. And it's like, you know, permission to sin. And so we're reading here. He says, "The evil deeds of the wicked man ensnare him. The cords of his sin hold him fast. He will die for a lack of discipline, led astray by his own folly." Well, first of all, let's think of the word wicked. Everybody says it's somebody else that's wicked, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
But I'm not wicked. But think about it, if you look at this. If you look up the definition, let's just buzz over to the definition. What's the definition of wicked? You're gonna be blown away.
Okay.
You're gonna be blown away. Listen to the definition of wicked. It's evil or morally wrong. Oh, my goodness.
Okay.
Wash me, Jesus. Think about it. Think about it. It's morally wrong. Mm. Mm. Wicked is morally wrong.
Wow.
So not being wicked is choosing to be morally
right.
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 Which can be done through the power of Jesus Christ, not by your own works. But understand that. So when you hear the word wicked, it's like we buzz over that. It's like, I wonder who that is.
Mm-hmm. Or
what's that?
That doesn't apply.
Or they may, you know, somebody may say, oh, I know that person. You know, but no, actually wicked means morally wrong. Mm. Oh my goodness. So I mean, think about how much wickedness is prevalent today.
Mm. Lots.
So then he says, the evil deeds of the morally wrong ensnare them. Ensnare means to catch in or as a trap. It's trapping you. And so the evil deeds of a morally wrong person trap them. So the very thing that one thinks they're getting away with, it's a trap. It's a trap. Think about it. It's trapping you. You know, think about it. This guy says, you know, I'm not addicted to drugs. I've been using drugs now for 35 years and it hadn't affected me yet. I mean, you know what I'm saying? It's like the evil deeds of the morally wrong ensnare them. And so you're not going to be able to play with sin without being trapped in the sin that you're playing with.
Mm.
There's a remedy for sin. It's the cross. It's trusting in the Lord. But we're just talking about wisdom this morning. We're talking about wisdom, you know, above all things, get wisdom. And then he goes on and says, the cords of his sin hold him fast. And cords means ropes. It's ropes that hold your soul. Your soul is literally tied up and entrapped by a choice to be morally wrong.
Mm.
I mean, for that alone, it wants to make you avoid immorality.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And when you think about your soul, I mean, it's like soul ties. Imagine that. It's like having your soul tied to something. And when you think about your soul, because we are spirits that have bodies that possess a soul.
Mm-hmm.
We're born again, boom, our spirit is alive. Our soul has to be renewed. That's why you're, if you haven't yet been disabled, that's why you're still thinking that way. And so understand that. And so then you can have ties to your soul, what you think, what you want, what you feel, what you think, what you, I think I want to feel, 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 right? And so if you mess around with morally incorrect behaviors, you're going to be ensnared by them. Then you're going to be tied by them. What? Your want is going to be tied. Your think, what you think about is going to be tied. Mm-hmm. And your feel, what you're going to feel. And all of a sudden, you'll see yourself just literally overtaken by, you know, something that you thought you were going to just dabble in. Now it's dabbling on you. Mm-hmm. That's a nice way to put it. And so then you can actually be ensnared and trapped and tied up, and you can't change your want. I want to do different, but I can't, you know. Mm-hmm. I want to stop thinking about this stuff, but I can't stop thinking about it. And I want to quit feeling this way, but I'm just so drawn to that immoral a situation or relationship or encounter or whatever it was. It's called soul ties.
Mm.
It's called soul ties. And finally, he says, in this particular person who is all wound up and trapped and tied up, he will die. He will die for a lack of discipline.
Mm.
Discipline has been so twisted. And when somebody in today's society begins to properly apply, you know, some form of discipline, they themselves get held captive and put in a trap for what we allow to take place in today's society. And it's, oh, man, remind me to go there in the future. But we don't have time to go there. But, you know, from, you know, put a kind of note of that, you know, that, you know, they won't let you. You know, these very same people won't let you, you know, discipline your children the way they would need to be disciplined. But these are very same ones that will use a 65,000-volt electric stun gun on them. They'll hobble restrain them. They'll put them in electric chairs. They'll put injection into their systems to kill them. I mean, oh, no, we'll talk about that in the future.
Right, yeah.
But it's so crazy. It's like, why are you? We should be saying, no, you have to. If you, we couldn't discipline them, you're going to have to now live with them. You know? And so then he says that he will die. He will die for a lack of discipline, led astray by his own great folly. So the discipline is the very thing that we have to have in our life. You have to be disciplined, you know. And if we're not disciplined, then we're led astray. And to be led astray is to leave the correct path. You know, there's a road that we're supposed to be on. It's a narrow road. Wide is the road that leads to destruction, and narrow is the road that leads to eternal life, and few that find it, right? The narrow gate. And he said, led astray by his own folly. And folly is the lack of good sense, foolishness, you know? And it's like, do you really think that's going to keep working for you?
Right.
You know, and you can just relax because they will come back around again. Mm-hmm. You know, a little bit limping, a little bit. Mm-hmm. Like, and God loves them, and God will forgive us. And, you know, just like he demonstrated with the prodigal. But why go through all that, right? Mm. And so you think about it, you know, Jesus said, he said, all authority in Matthew 28, 18, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I've commanded you. Listen, if we don't take time to discipline, discipline means training behavior. It does not mean, you know, punishment. It means doing what needs to be done to mold behavior in a right direction that God says it needs to be in. And so, you know, with that, in that we become, we're supposed to be, learn God's way, and we have to be disciplined to be able to do that. And he said, listen, you know, not only preach the good news, but teach them my ways and teach them to obey my ways. Hmm. And so which means that it's not abnormal then for us not to know his ways. It's normal.
Right.
And it's not abnormal for the fact that I've got to be taught his ways. Mm-hmm. You're not wrong because you don't know. You're wrong because you choose not to know.
Mm. Right.
And then that it's a process of learning, which means, you know, you get better at it. You get better at it, you know, and basically you're getting more humbled and more humbled to find that you're just totally trusting God, trying to do it in your own works. And you're amazed, you know, what God's able to do when you let go. We can actually be authentically saved, authentically accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. But for whatever reason that we have chosen to not be discipled, to not learn, and to not obey Jesus, can have eternal consequences. Mm. Mm. I mean, think about it. I mean, Peter walked with Jesus. He preached the most awesome first message. Thousands got mm-hmm. saved as he's filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. And he says in 2 Peter 2:19 through 21, we're talking about wisdom today. He says, they promised them freedom while they themselves are slaves of depravity. For a man is a slave to whatever masters him. Mm. And he's talking about being tied to your sin, that sin masters you. Mm. I mean, it's not that we're sinless, it's that we're not mastered by sin.
Right.
You know, that Jesus is our master. And then he goes on, listen to this, he goes on to say, and if they have escaped the corruption of this world by knowing Jesus Christ as Lord, and are again entangled in it and overcome, which is the cords, right? The cords of mm-hmm. the sin. They are worse off at the end than they were at the beginning. Mm-hmm. It would have been better for them not even to known the way of righteousness than to have known it and then turn their backs on the sacred command that was passed on to them. I mean, I don't know why. I do know why, because it's easier to build a crowd when you remove what Jesus said specifically, mm-hmm. mm. when we're not preaching on sin, against sin, and we're not preaching on the cross of Christ, when we're not preaching what the blood of Christ really does, it removes the sin. Mm. I mean, it does, when you preach against sin, it brings us all to the reality, I need Jesus and I need him now. It's not just you, it's all of us need him.
Right.
But then Jesus is there with arms wide open going, yeah, the law was a taskmaster to bring you to me. I knew that. That's why they say, holy is the Lord, worthy is the Lamb, because I did that for you. But you're never going to be able to do that in your own works. But let me tell you, you can't avoid this reality and think you're going to end up in the eternity that religion is promising you. And every religion promises somebody something, but a relationship with Jesus Christ promises you eternal salvation with him in heaven before the Father forever. Mm. Is that awesome? Forever.
Yes.
Mm. You know, and just like the proverb says, you know, you can be led astray. You can be led astray. You know, you can be held by the cords of your sin. You know, you can actually When we think about it, so then how do we defeat this folly? How do we defeat being led astray? I mean, that's a very important thing. I mean, okay, fine. Got it, understood it, lived it, been there. Got a couple t-shirts, right? Right.
Been there, done that, not going back.
Yeah, been by the will of God. Watch me, Jesus. And so John, that was actually Pat that said he's not going to go back. No mess away. Just want to make note of that. No mess away. Let's pray for bad today. John 8, 31, 32, Jesus tells us, he says, if you follow my teachings. Think about it. He says, if you follow my teachings. Well, you already said, go and teach them my teachings and teach them to obey them, right? That's what he said. That was a great commission. And so he says, if you follow my teachings, then you're really. I just love that word. You're really. Which means some people aren't really, right?
Mm-hmm.
He says, then you're really my disciple. It makes you think, well, if you've never even bothered, if you've been taught you never even have to know, you're not even reading your Bible. You're not even hanging around anybody that's reading their Bible. You're not even bothered to sit down and learn the ways of God. I mean, you got to ask the question then. If you don't even know his teaching, it's, are you really? But you can be. I mean, don't, look, that's not a rejection. It's just like, oh, I found the answer. I want to know him. You know, I want to know Jesus Christ as Lord. You know, and so he says, if you follow my teachings, then you really are my disciple. Then, what's that mean? Then, that means what? If you know the teachings and you're following them, right? Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free from what? From the ties that bind, the cords of sin, being led astray. It's so cool. I mean, he did not leave us here without the wisdom. He left us here with his word, and we need to be able to follow his ways. You know, Jesus, he gave us the authority to be able to, in his name, we can break these soul ties. But listen, you know, it's like an empty house. You can clean it out all day long with an open door. If you don't fill that house with the truths of God, if you don't fill it with the discipleship, with how, what does Jesus say? What is the operator? He created everything that you see. He created you. You're made in his image and his likeness. He knows how it all works. And so you need to find out for your own good, you know, how the maker and creator of the universe, how things are to be. It's called the Bible. It's called the Bible. You know, if you want to do this, I want to encourage you, you can go to iabide.org. And it has, and you go, it's a simple plan. You can request to begin to abide with him, but it has additional information too when you do that about how to begin to be discipled. You know, get with someone, but get started today. Go to iabide.org. So today's word of wisdom is Proverbs 5:22-23. The evil deeds of the wicked man, which is morally wrong, right? So the evil deeds of the morally wrong ensnare him. The cords of his sin hold him fast. He will die for a lack of discipline, led astray by his own great folly. We'll be right back. When God begins to do something, he establishes it with more than one witness. As a matter of, you'll begin to hear, as it's amazing, like a choir of those who are listening to God. You'll hear them begin to cry out the same thing the Spirit of God is saying. Yeah, you're going to have probably more naysayers in that type of situation. But listen, how could they know? How could they know what God's saying simultaneously, the very same thing, unless the same God, same Lord, and same Spirit revealed it to them?
Right.
You know, and there is hope for America. There is hope, but you're the hope. The church, Christ in you is the hope of glory. You know, there is a way, and it's a very specific way, to be able to bring America back to the cross, to bring it back to the cross. As a matter of fact, right now, Steve Hill's talking to Peter Wagner, and he's asking the very same question. What should the message be? I'll be right back.
What should the message right now be from pastors, from prophets, from evangelists, from anyone who's in the ministry or anyone who calls themselves a Christian? What should the message be?
Well, you and I believe in revival, and I think that one of the keys to revival is Jesus' Great Commission. I mean, so in Matthew quotes Jesus as saying to preach the gospel to every creature, and he who believes and is saved will be saved, and who is baptized. And so seeing the numbers of people being saved and baptized and then folded into churches and churches multiplying, in a way that they multiply so fast that they change society, leads us into Matthew's quote of the Great Commission, where he tells us to make disciples of whole nations.
But you're talking.
You think about this. That's exactly what we're doing at VFN. It's a rapid church planting movement. Obviously, when you begin to move from what was to what is, it takes a while for everything to adjust, but it's like exponential growth. If you understand what God does, it takes a little bit. You know, Jesus started with his one, then he started with his three, he started with his 12, he had his 72, and it progressively grew. And the multitude we see today is because Jesus followed the Father. Are you ready to follow the Father and the leadership of the Son? Are you ready to lay down your life, get on the cross, and begin to say, you know what? It's a rapid church planting movement. It is the church, rightly related, rightly connected, discipled, functioning in the context of the Great Commission. But I'm telling you, I totally agree with Peter Wagner, and I totally agree with Steve Hill, that the hope for America is the church, because the hope of glory is Christ in you. And that's what bring it about. Listen, if you want to know more, go to vfnfamily.org, vfnfamily.org. There's VFNU to train you up and launch you out. There's foundational aspects of building your basic discipleship in Jesus Christ, you know, getting and finding out what it's like to be family instead of an organization. Because listen, if we're going to move as family, you know, we got to be family. Family is what holds us together. You can't be an institution and family at the same time. It's called confinement, but you can be family. You're together because you want to be together, because you love God and you love each other. Find out more at vfnfamily.org. You might not know this, but we have the VFN TV blog, the VFN radio blog. It's a blog where we're talking to you all the time about all the different things, God's news behind the news, some really funny things, some things like dreams that we're having about heaven and prophetic words and conversations. You know, we want to take it to the next level. And we do that on the VFN TV blog. Mm-hmm. You know, you may be hearing something on the radio. We're talking about the blog. It's the VFN TV blog. You can get to it at vfntv.com and click on the blog. And it's a button on the menu that tells you how to get there. And you go over there, and it has all these things we've been talking about in the program. You can search for it. You can even subscribe to the blog itself. If you hover over in the right-hand corner, something pops out from the right side, and it says subscribe. What that means is every time there's a new entry in the blog, it will go into your email, whatever your email account is, and it'll be sitting there on your computer. What we do also with that is quite often that whatever we were talking about on the radio that day about that particular topic in that segment, you have an MP3 link right in there. So you got the videos of what we're talking about. You have the pictures of what we're talking about. You have the resources. You know, sometimes we're talking about something, you need to find out where it was that heard from. Mm-hmm. And you also can click on the link and you begin to hear it just like an MP3. It will play right on your iPhone. You can share it with your Facebook friends. It's a great way. You know, you can hear the word of wisdom for that day, and you can take that link, copy it, and put it on your Facebook and share it with your friends, and all those people will be encouraged. There's so many things available for you on the VFN TV blog. It's the VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program blog. Just go to vfntv.com and click on the blog. Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. With me in the studios is Pat Hamilton and John Ramos. Oh my goodness. I just love Peter Wagner and Steve Hill. It's amazing. We got so many wonderful things to share with you over the next couple of weeks about, you know, what's being said. Listen, no matter what it looks like, God is preparing for himself a people. You know, there's some people, think about this. There's some people that just, when Jesus was walking on the face of the earth and revealing the Father to everybody that was with him, some people said, he's going to steal my people. He's God. He's giving you breath. They're not your people. They're his people. Secondly, you know, some people said, you know, I know him. I'm going to receive from him. But they stayed where they were. But there's some people who said, I'm going to go where you go. I'm going to do what you do. I'm going to say what you said. This is the difference. Because the first crew, unless they repented, they're never going to be with them. Mm-hmm. And that was their choice. Second crew, that they're going to, you know, be with him forever. But the people that went with Jesus, the people that, if you want to listen, the people that go with him,
that follow him are the ones that write the books. And the ones who chose to stay, read the books. Why don't you be one of the ones that write the books? We need a whole new literature in Jesus. We need new moves of God. We need you to believe God can move in your life, and you journal down what he's doing so the next generation will not be lost. Because only 4% of the young people in the world right now believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You're going to have to wake up and be a part of it. Listen, there's not going to be any books to read. If you don't walk with Jesus, somebody is going to have to walk with him and begin to write the awesome miracles and signs and wonders and the awesomeness of his splendor. And, you know, we're seeing beautiful things take place. It's like, it's so cool when you don't have to imagine what it would be like when you read the Bible. Mm-hmm. You just verify. That's God, because it's happening in your very presence. Isn't that true?
Yeah.
It's true. You know, with that, of course, comes to fear the Lord, because God's, the closer God gets, the more magnified, you know, sin gets. So you got to get the sin out of your life. But let me tell you what, there is a way to do that. You can remedy that at the cross, you know. So I just want to encourage you, you know, that be the ones that write the books. I'm not talking about, you know, write a book. I mean, you can just live a book. You know, realize that people will just look at you and read you. Mm-hmm. You know, read, you're an epistle. You are my epistle, what Paul said, you know, and so understanding that. And it's just so exciting. Listen, you know, every generation is meant to walk with Jesus, but it's a choice. It's a choice. I don't know if I've told you guys this, but my son-in-law, Blake, he builds engines, you know, for his Honda Prelude, and he's got thousands of dollars under the hood. Mm-hmm. And he has, as a matter of fact, I think I may have it right here, where he's racing his 1998 Prelude at an 11.85 seconds. He makes it to 115.69 miles per hour.
Wow.
And think about it, that's like fast. Listen to this. Listen. That's my son-in-law. Listen, he's getting up. We're going to make this available on the blog, but hold on. You got to see this. Okay, he's revving up. There he goes. 3, 2, 1. Now.
Wow.
Isn't that something?
Wow. Wow. Those things can go.
Isn't it amazing?
Those are Hondas.
115.
Yes. That's amazing.
115 miles an hour. Now look at this. Now this is him inside. This is a camera from the inside angle. Look at this. This is him shifting the gears. Watch. This is the inside view of what we just saw. 115 miles an hour and 11.85 seconds. Here we go. There it is. 3, 2, 1. Watch him. This is drag racing right here. Look at that. Oh my goodness.
Wow.
Is that not awesome?
Wow.
There it is. That's how
amazing.
Cool it was. Is that amazing?
That is cool.
Yeah, that's Blake. That's my son-in-law. That's Amber's husband right there.
That's awesome.
Yes, Blake Barr. We're going to make that available. You got to see this. We're going to put that on the VFN TV blog. You know, I never thought a Honda could move so quick.
That's amazing. Mine never moved that fast.
That
was really. My first car was on.
Yeah, 12 seconds was how long it took to get the key in the ignition.
You're right.
Man, look at that. I'm 11.85 seconds, 115.869 miles an hour. That is totally amazing. We're going to make that available for you on the VFN TV blog today. But, yeah, man, that is just really cool. Original Tent. We've been talking about Original Tent. We had a wonderful, program yesterday on the 4th of July. I hope you had a great time, you know, with each other and with your barbecues and all that. That we had a wonderful time just kind of kicking back in the pool, floating along, and kind of just going out and having, you know, a relaxing time. And Don and I did, and just really enjoyed it, kind of taking some time to ourselves and all that. But we talked about the Original Tent quite often at this point, many times, is about America. What's the original intent about America? And we need to keep doing it because we have to remind ourselves about it. Now, coming up probably in the second hour today is Isms. It's a 1948 cartoon that we're going to make available on the VFN TV blog, but it just nails it. You know, communism, Marxism, socialism versus capitalism. And this college took time to be able to write this, design this cartoon to help America understand what is the difference. And, you know, you're going to hear it verbal or audibly, and you'll be able to get it, but you're also going to be able to go to the VFN TV blog. We're going to have to understand what's being said. You know, I mean, somebody who's planning on doing something against the will of the people is not going to say, hey, I want to let you know something. In the next couple of years, I'm going to radically transform your nation, and it's going to be totally against your will. And I feel that, you know, we know how better to run the country than you know how to run the country. And so we're going to be talking about that. And with that, you know, I was watching GPS. GPS is on CNN, and I was amazed at what I found out. John, you remember the book? I think it's by The World is Flat.
Oh, Tom Friedman.
Yeah, Tom Friedman. Times. Yeah, Tom Friedman, New York Times. Well, this guy that was being interviewed on GPS was the one who spoke those words. Remember reading the book, and some guy said something to him that sparked off the entire book. Right. He said the words, the world is flat now.
Right.
And what he means by that, I guess we need to define that a little bit. Obviously, we're thinking the world's flat, and we're going to get on a ship, and it's going to fall off the edge. But it's the fact of the marketplace, is that doing business is flat. And and for a long time, as we've seen it, you know, America has had superiority in that market. They've pretty much, you know, most every patent comes out of America. Right. I mean, all these different, you know, business and Israel. It's amazing how those things come out of places there's capitalism, you know.
Right.
You know, and all of a sudden there's not many inventions taking place in Marxism, socialism, and communism. And when you talk about isms, you're really talking about forms of how the economy moves. You're talking about, it's not, when you think communism, some people just think, oh, you know, you remember the commercial? I don't know. Wendy's did a commercial a long time ago, and it lasted, I think, two times. They took it off the air. They said it offended them. And they were having a fashion show. And in the fashion show, they had this lady come out. It was all like gray, hospital looking gown thing or something, just real drab.
Yeah.
And he goes, and next, Dave, you know, and she comes out and she has this gray blah thing on and her hair's back in. And then she goes out. And then he says, and now, evening there. And then this, and she comes out with the same dress on with a flashlight. So many people think of communism in black and white terms. They think about it in the way people dress, that it's, since they've seen videos and history in black and white, you know, they think that that's just some old historical thing. No, it's just the way the economy moves. It's the way that who chooses where money's spent, how it's spent, how you will handle money. You know, and a long time ago, you know, it was said to me, and it's proven true, whoever controls the finances controls the vision. You know, and right now we're saying the Americans are saying, well, at least the government's saying, and hopefully enough Americans will change the government's mind soon. They're saying that the government's saying that they want to control the finances of America. They want, well, this health care bill. You know, it's all about, you know, we need help. The problem with the argument with the healthcare, which we talked about, and you can go back and listen to the highlights, is the church is walking in disobedience to God.
Right.
And so it makes us, we're not a legitimate player on the table unless we repent. And repentance is not just saying, I'm sorry. It's beginning to honor God again. If only 3 to 4%, according to George Barna, are even honoring God, you know, with his tithes and offerings, then that means the other 97 or 96% are robbing God of tithes and offerings.
Right.
And so the government's going to begin to tax to pay for what probably the church could have done if we would have honored God with what was going on. Of course, where your treasure is, there's your heart also as well. And so just imagine if the church was walking in obedience. And so we're not saying that it is right now. We're not saying that it is. Oh, My goodness, keep that. We're coming to that. We have to pick up this on the extra hour too. But just imagine. Okay, we're doing that. Then we would say, listen, we can't. We don't want to surrender the vision of our lives to the government. We don't believe that the government, which switches every 4 years or 8 years or every 6 years or every 2 years, by the way. Mm-hmm. So who's going to be in there next?
Mm-hmm.
And which wouldn't be a bad proposition anyway. So and so with that. That you don't want to surrender your will over to anybody. You want to give it to God, you know. And if you put it, if you turn it over, if whoever you know controls the finances, controls the vision by controlling healthcare, they're controlling two very important things in our lives. One is the monies. You know, that is being invested in that and being spent, and can you afford this? Therefore, they have to verify this. And so all of a sudden, now you're finance. I don't know if you've ever, if you've ever been to college or the university or your children's ever been to college or university, but they suck you dry of every financial knowledge about you and your family. You can have a 23-year-old kid go into college who is totally outside your home, is living their life. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And they make that kid go back and find their parents' financial records and force them to get those financial records to see if they qualify for any kind of. And that it's anyway, anyway, we'll go. That's a new future story. But so we got the healthcare situation going on. So I'm listening to in shock to GPS on CNN. And we're coming to the end of this hour. So I'm going to pick this up in the extra hour, too. But India right now is they are fingerprinting their entire population, John, their entire population, they are fingerprinting it. And it's called Imprint India. And they're doing it out of, I want to help you. I want to help you. They're not only fingerprint, they're giving them all digital. And the one that's leading this is the one that keyed the word for the world is flat. That's why I brought it up.
Really?
Yeah. And he's the one now leading it that we want to bring India to the marketplace. You know, we want to bring India to the marketplace, and that they're saying that every dollar that they make available to the Indian people, only 10 cents makes it to them because the in-between people are taking all this money. So they said, to help get it to you, we're going to give you a retinal scan, we're going to give you a fingerprint, and we're going to give you an online digital identification. Online digital identification, and that way everybody will be able to be tracked. And nobody, we will give you something. You know, we're here for you.
Mm-hmm. What a benefit.
And then what Hitler said, we're here for you. We're here for you. Well, with that, you know, we're going to talk about in this extra hour today is the fact that there's enough IP addresses right now, web addresses. They just came up with a new system that over every human being on the face of the earth can get 90 IP addresses. So that means they can track everything on the face of the earth, including your washing machine. We got so much to talk about. We're going to be in just a moment with that. But I want, the reason why I'm saying that is because in the healthcare bill, you got to catch the extra hour. In the healthcare bill, they're talking about implanting an RFID chip that has all that tracking information to be able to verify where you are financially and if you qualify for the healthcare. So in other words, your finances, your medical records, and everything about you will be in that one thing. So they can say, okay, you have this much money, so you can pay this much for this particular procedure. And they want to be aware of everything. Is this amazing? The signs of the times. We'll talk more about that in the extra hour. We're coming to the end of the first hour. Thank you for joining us. If you want to join us in the extra hour today, we're glad to have you. John Ramos and Pat Hamilton and myself will be breaking the news of what's taking place with fingerprinting and identifying every human being on the face of the earth. It sounds like end times is right before us. God bless. We'll see you next hour.